the January 25, 2019 meeting of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. It's 9:16 a.m. Thank you for being here. Somebody want to read our standard contested case statement? Sam?
I am happy to do so. In some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing. And if such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first before considering the merits of the item before it. The person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request a contested case after the decision. It's entirely up to you. Any request must be made orally by the end of the meeting and followed up in writing within 10 days. If no request for contested case is made, then the board will make a decision and the department will treat the decision as final and proceed accordingly.
Thank you. We have no minutes to review this year, this week, no withdrawals. So first up on the move up agenda is going to be M3.
Good morning. My name is Olivia Pham, and I'm a property manager representing the Department of Transportation's Harbors Division to answer any questions you may have regarding item M3, which is the issuance of a right of entry to Honolulu Authority for Rapid Transit for the transplantation of coconut trees from the Nitz Highway to landscaping areas in Irwin Memorial Park, as well as the former U.S. Public Health Service buildings. And this project's at no cost to the DOT Harbors.
Thank you very much. Okay, board members, any questions on M3?
Now I know what it is, so no questions.
No questions on M3. Is there any public testimony on M3? If not, is there a motion to approve M3?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. You did great. I'm sorry you had to go first. Okay, next up is M2 and
one
M1.
Good morning, Chair Case, board members. Ross Smith from the Department of Transportation for items M1 and M2. In item M1, it's at Daniel Kanoa International Airport. We seek approval to issue a revocable permit to Allison Sylvian for aircraft parking. Monthly rent for the 1,305 square foot tie down is $126. And item M2 is at Kawaihapai Airfield. DOT seeks approval to issue a revocable permit to Alan Wimmer for a T hanger for airport aircraft maintenance and storage. Monthly rental for the 1,107 square foot T hanger is $379.
Thank you. Questions, board members? No questions. Is there any public testimony in M1 or 2? If not, is there a motion to approve M1?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I got a question for you,
sir.
Something I saw this morning coming in, down the jetway, you get the Hawaiian Airline advertising their credit card.
Yes.
How much are you guys making off of it?
That I don't know for exactly. I will check, though, and let you know.
No, because I was thinking, you know, if you can do that, it's a good way of making money, you just sell all this advertisement along the...
We have quite a bit of advertising in the terminal building now, yes.
No, along the jetway, it's along the
jetway. Jetways, most people don't want to, but just because we have multiple in... Okay, let me just explain one thing on the jetway. In the Inner Island Terminal, it's all Hawaiian. Right? Hawaiian is the only one that's flying out of there, so it makes sense for Hawaiian to put up an ad for their card. If you're on the overseas side, all the gates are common. So you may get gate one day, five the next day, eight the next day. So it's hard for airlines to say, okay, I want to put up something like that in the jet bridge because you don't know who the actual people are going to be there.
That's an easy way to make money.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
I got one to Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir.
Why haven't you come back? With all the things we've asked for the last 6 months.
I had intended to, and I'd gotten carried away with some other issues inside DOT, so I anticipate to be the second meeting in February.
Second meeting in February?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You weren't sick, or were you sick? They said you were sick. That was a cover story in December.
No, I did miss one of the meetings because I was ill.
Okay.
Yes.
You look better today.
Oh, thank you.
Even better in 1 minute. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Next up is K1. K1.
Chair, board members, Sam Leno, Office of Conservation and Coastal Lands. I'll be relatively brief here. This is a conservation district use application for a single family residence. The number is KA3828. The applicant is Helios Hanale. Basically, the property is located in Princeville above Hanalei Valley, across from the fire station. I think you need to orient yourself to the exhibits really to understand what's going on here. There's a finger ridge that comes out above Hanalei Valley adjacent to Princeville, and it's been a vacant lot throughout history, and it was picked up by a fella a number of years ago. God, I can't remember his name right now. Anyway, he owned it for some time, and then he built a gate at the entrance of the property, which we approved through a departmental permit, and then he subsequently sold the property to Helios Hanale, Mr. Giron, and Mr. Giron now wishes to construct a single family residence on the property. The residence is a single story structure, about 18 feet in elevation, located approximately in the middle of the parcel. The intent is his intent to use the residence for his family. So this CDUP has gone through a pretty extensive process. We initially took a conservation district application in for them, and that had a public hearing in Kapaa, and we ran out of time on the processing of the CDUP, so they basically cooperatively withdrew the CDUP at that time, and they came back with another CDUP, and basically we had another public hearing in Hanalei for the new CDUP, and that public hearing was attended by a group of people. And then we also processed an EA for this project, and we issued a FONSI for it late last year. As you can see in the staff report, we've gone through the typical analysis, and the problem with this case was when the planner that was running this case, Alex Roy, left in December, and so I sort of took it over and shepherded it. So he did most of the writing of the report before he left. I picked it up later on and sort of finished it up for him. But we see that the major issues that sort of arose from this case were, number one, the community. There are some people in the community who have some concerns about putting a structure at this particular location, and we have testimony, written testimony today from Hermina Morita and Carl Imparato. And we have a lot of written comments that we've included in the conservation district use application. We have a lot of written comments that came in on the EA, and we've included a link to the EA, and you were able to look at those comments if you downloaded the EA. But some of the major concerns on this case are the potential viewplane impacts of the home. So it's located on a ridge above Hanalei Valley. Vegetative buffer, and the proposal is to fix the house into the parcel. The roof, top of the roof would be at about 18 feet, and it is believed that because with the existing vegetative cover along the bluff, that the majority of the house would be concealed from most views in Hanalei Valley. Possibly the top of the roof could be seen from a number of, possibly from views further away, like the Hanalei Beach and other areas. But, you know, as the report, I've laid out the rationale in the report, based on what I've seen, it does not appear that if the thing is developed under the existing conditions and no vegetation is cut on the bluff, that the house could be largely camouflaged. The issue is if the vegetation remains in place. So one of the concerns we have is that if we authorize the use and then the owner comes in and starts to remove trees or try to improve his viewplane or her viewplane, that the house could become more visible from areas within Hanalei Valley. And so we've proposed to include conditions in the permit that would require the homeowner, the landowner, to maintain the vegetative buffer in its current state. They are proposing a few improvements in the screening, but certainly we would not want to see any reduction in the screening that's taking place as it currently exists. And there's some pretty strong language regarding maintaining those buffers, and if they're not maintained, there's penalties and consequences of them doing that. So that was the approach that we took in this case. There was some other concerns regarding the placement of the house, because some people believe that there's slope stability issues. On the Hanalei side of the, on the Hanalei Valley side of the property, there's a very large or tall escarpment which goes down to the DOT highway. As the DOT highway snakes down to the Hanalei River, and they've had some landslide issues there, a little rock fall. They are continually seem to be doing work in that area to stabilize that slope.
We have photos of that.
Yeah. I asked the planner to reach out to DOT on a number of occasions. We got written comments from DOT. I asked him to call DOT. I wanted to know from the person who actually is responsible for that particular area at DOT if this proposal was problematic for them to put a house up on this bluff, and that, if that would interfere with their work. And, you know, we couldn't really get anybody to say that, not that we were trying to get them to say anything, but nobody would say that the home was a problem for them. As long as the homeowner was cooperative with them in terms of doing slope stabilization, scaling, putting in whatever necessary rock fall protection they need, then they didn't seem to have a problem with it. So the community, though, was still concerned about the potential of putting a house there and the potential for affecting the stability of the slope. And the other issue had to do with hydrology, that people have concerns maybe that there's putting a home on the top of the bluff will have an impact on the hydrology and groundwater and the way water flows through the property and over the property. Well, we had them do a hydrological analysis, and that seemed not to be a major issue based on the analysis that they did, drainage hydrology analysis. And so we have a number of concerns that have come up: slope stability, hydrology, viewplanes. And on the part of the homeowner, they did take some actions to reduce the house to 18 feet. They could go for 25 under the rules. So all these things taken, You know, and also considering the concerns of the community, you know, we decided that I decided at the end of the day that, you know, we were okay recommending approval of this authorization. I was a little bit irritated by one thing, which was I asked them to provide us with an alternative to the proposed house that they want to build, which is about a 4,500 square foot structure, which is typically what we do now, right? Remember, you've had a few cases where we ask the homeowner to provide some different home configurations, maybe in a different location, maybe a different design, and they didn't do that for me. So I sort of expressed my interest in, well, you know, I wasn't in a position to recommend a different house design for them because I'm not an architect and maybe that's not my place. But certainly, you know, the board has the discretion to modify these requests going forward. For instance, you can tell them to put the house in a different location. You can tell them to reduce the size of the house. And I think you'll see that some of the comments that have come in on this proposal from Ms. Harita and Carl are asking for some changes to the home design. I don't know that if you impose these changes, it will sort of alleviate, ameliorate their concerns to the extent necessary to get their support of this thing. But you're certainly within your, you know, power to do that kind of thing. We have two written requests for contested case hearings. One of the potential petitioners is here today, and I imagine they'll want to testify in this matter. But at the end of the day, we're suggesting that you authorize the permit with general conditions and a number of special conditions to address those view plane concerns. And I'm available for any questions you might have.
Maybe about 2 months ago, I went on the property because DOT was doing a slope stabilization project on the downs, on the bottom side. And, so there is a project going on right now for slope stabilization. DOT hired a design engineer firm, about three different firms, and one surveying. I was with the surveying firm. We just was looking at the property and going over what the work is supposed to be done. So, you know, as far as DOT, right now DOT has a project going on the state stabilization of the rockfall area. And being on the property for the first time, you know, standing there, what I was assisting my friend who is a surveyor in trying to see how they can do the surveying of the slope. So we went up there on the property and we couldn't even see down there. You know, with all the vegetation right now, we couldn't see it anywhere down the slope. So the only way we could find out where the slope mitigation was needed, we had to go all the way down to, we drove all the way down to the Dolphin Restaurant, looking up where the slope, the slide was, and look on the upper part of Princeville, you know, when you're coming down, at the coconut trees, so we could take a line of sight to see how or where the slope mitigation is. And so, you know, for in my case, if we had to go all the way down there to just find out, you know, where the slope is, you know, I don't know how. Unless you can fly, or you gotta go, maybe like you say, Hanalei Bay, or maybe Waikoko to see the house. But from the Dolphin, we couldn't see. That's the only sight we could do, was find the coconut trees along the highway going down by Princeville.
Yeah, that's why I, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's all things being equal, if they don't cut those trees down, it's probably all right. If they don't cut the trees down.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It's with the trees there, the way it's located right now, you wouldn't be able to see the home. Because you know that shower tree, the water pistol, we used to call them water pistol tree, right in the center of the lot that takes the center of the photo. You can't even see that from the bottom. And that's almost in the middle. Is that in the middle of the lot?
Other questions? Tony?
The first CDUP, was it the same layout and floor plan as the second?
Pretty much the same.
Now, when you get to trees, you said if they don't cut them down, you can't see the house. If you cut them down, there could be penalties. What kind of penalties?
What did it say? Says, you know, condition 6 says the permittee and all subsequent landowners, in case the property is sold, shall maintain and enhance the existing vegetation to completely screen the single-family residents from all surrounding views. If they take any action to kill, damage, or otherwise cause the vegetative buffer to be damaged or reduced, or if the vegetative buffer is destroyed or damaged involuntarily by fire or disease, the permittee or any subsequent landowner shall take immediate action to replace or improve the buffer. Failure to do so on the part of the permittee or any subsequent landowner to comply with this condition shall result in the imposition of daily penalties on the landowner, correction of the problem, and or revocation of the permit.
Okay, so what are the penalties? In other words, we've had things, people accidentally, contractor pushes over the soil and it rolls down the hill. You knock down a tree, you're going to have them plant a tree? Is the tree going to be the same size as the tree they knocked down? to just say penalties. So anyway, okay, let's move to the next one. On conservation land, can you have a homeowner business on conservation land?
That's a tough question. Because if somebody has a home and they live there and they're like doing work out of their, like an office on their computer or something, is that a home business? I mean,
That is a homeowner business, by the way. That's what the law was set up for. But I'm asking you on conservation land. And the reason I bring this up for me personally is that this law firm handled a case with a property next to mine that does weddings.
Oh.
And the people at one time were even living there, and they finally got them to move in. So as the case went forward, it became a homeowner. So this is what I'm asking you, because when I look at the layout, beautiful layout, but when I look at the law firm, that's the question mark that comes up for me.
You couldn't, you wouldn't be authorized, you would be, that would be a violation if you came in and tried to use it for commercial enterprise of that type of thing or other similar types of uses where you're bringing people onto the property for commercial purposes. That's a commercial use. That's not, that's a different issue than a single family residence.
It still falls under homeowner. So this is what I'm just going to ask these questions because that's what comes to my mind.
Okay. It's a change. It's a change for us. It's a change in the use of the land from residential. Sorry, I know that you're defining residential broadly to include business, but we've had situations where we've had people that have single family residences, and then those residences have become rentals or vacation rentals, or had become used for other business purposes, and we've told them to stop doing that. That's not permitted. It's a change in the use. That was not the intent on the board.
You know, Abby, no, I just, no, I'm sorry. Okay. I just wanted to follow up on his
Me too.
Issue.
Me too. You go first if you want to. That's fine. I'm raising my hand, that's why I'm asking. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to suggest that this is, he's raising an interesting, very interesting question. And I don't think that our rules cover
business.
Typically, the counties will allow a degree of home businesses. And so, and you know, it's just common sense, and people can, you know, you sell insurance, you can have a home office, and you know, sit there, and you can make
your calls.
That's
what the law, but it's, you know, now it's extended beyond that.
Yeah. So in your neighbor situation would be a county issue, and there'd be a county definition of what's. They have something in their zoning code that defines what a home business is. I used to be planning for Hawaii County, and Hawaii County, it was kind of wide open. You know, I don't know what city. Every county is going to be different, but we don't really have something in conservation. I don't think we do. Do we?
Well, no, we don't. But it's.
I mean, there's accessory. You know, clearly, I think that if somebody, you know, had an occupation. Usually, the way these things say is that there's not involved significant amount of site visits from outside. And typically, you can't sell stuff from your, you know, you can't have people come to your home and buy stuff. You know, the typical home occupation. I'm trying to follow up directly on where he was going with this. And I think it is a good question. I think it's something we probably, I think we could deal with it in the conditions of approval. I think that people should be, you know, they can work at home, they can make phone calls. There's like limits to how much you can control of what people do on their own property. But when it comes to, you have people come in for weddings, you have, you know, you could have, you know, catered meals. I mean, people, you know, these are the kind of things that do come up in the counties. Like county of Hawaii, we had people with a beautiful, huge, very large home, and they would have buses come up from the hotels with like 40 people, you know, and cater a very fancy meal. That's not, you know, we shut that down. That's not a home occupation. We don't want that happening in the places, you know, the kinds of things that we're doing in conservation. I mean, I think it's worth, you know, thinking about and having that conditional.
There is a condition.
Okay, which is?
It says the residence shall not be used for rental or any other commercial purpose.
Okay.
So we define it very strictly. You know.
What's the penalty?
The board can revoke the permit.
So the house is built. What are we taking back?
We can penalize people up to $2,000 per violation.
Yes.
And if they don't cease and desist, we can fine them daily $2,000. That's what we've done in the past. $2,000 a day.
Stand.
We have a number of conditions that appear to apply to this. You already mentioned 6. We also have 24. If they cut down the trees and you can see it at night, there's penalty. We also have 27 that say if you don't comply with the conditions, the permit is void. That's a very stiff penalty. And that means the whole project is void. That makes the CDUP null and void. It means that the property use is improper, that you have no authority and no authorization to do anything on the property. Whether we have the power to raise, R-A-Z-E, the house and the improvements, I would want our Attorney General to give an opinion on that. Is our Attorney General available down there? I can't see past Sam.
He's here.
Sir, what is your opinion about, do we raise the house if they violate these conditions?
In terms of...
Make them take it down.
No, I mean, what are you asking? What kind of penalty is available if they violate the conditions?
If the CDUP is void,
right,
as in condition 27 provides, if the CDUP is void, they have no authority and they have no discretion to build anything on the property. It goes back to its existing use. If it's void, it never happened. As soon as they do something that voids it, it's gone. We have that in commercial transactions and litigation all the time. The courts know how to deal with it.
So we can require them to remove it, yes.
We can require them to remove it. That's what I want to hear. So there are other kinds of conditions that I don't see in here. And the most typical one that we utilize in litigation matters is a negative restrictive covenant that runs with the land in perpetuity. It becomes a cloud on the title. It is like an easement. It is like a property interest, and it runs with the land in perpetuity. And if you violate that, it also makes it a nullity. So you can't cut the trees. I'm very concerned, Sam, that the homeowner has not been cooperative with you. If you come to the land board in a situation like this, it's a good idea to cooperate with our staff ahead of time, because if you don't, then we have an incomplete record here of what's fair and what isn't. And that's why we ask our department, our division chiefs like Sam, to check it out so that when it comes here, it's right for decision. And this one, without any kind of suggestions on how to make the plan smaller, leaves us in a situation, I think Chris Ewan is a little more qualified than I am to say how big a house is proper. I mean, that's not my background. But if you want to stop something, in litigation, we stop things all the time. And so these conditions, I think, are okay. I would be concerned that they make a Airbnb here. It's a beautiful place for an Airbnb. I don't know what the county ordinance is in Kauai, but if the law is that it's void, if they violate it, and we can tell them to take the house down, I don't really need to know all the details of the Airbnb. You say in the condition there's going to be no private business there, and that's the end of it. So this is very restrictive.
Well, let me... Do people care to know who this guy is? Is that like something people can discuss publicly?
No, I don't think that that's proper for us to get into who's tall, who's short, who's got muscles. That's not our business.
I'm not defending anybody, but I've interacted with these people, and you know, I doubt they're going to be doing a Airbnb here, just based on my experience.
And it's restricted in the
And it's restricted, but I hear your concern.
Tommy, and then Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. What was I going to say already?
Jimmy and then Tommy.
I'm just telling you how I feel.
I think board members of Member Owe has been our eyes and ears onto the ground, and he's gone out and looked at the place, went out with DOT, very familiar with the area. And I think with all of the conditions that we have here and what you brought up, Member Rohrig, you know, I think with all of that, I would say that it's a go for me, because listening to what we have here and what staff has said and the conditions, I think relatively we're protected on our side. I mean, we've vented, but I'd like to hear testimony. So,
Tommy, and then maybe we'll go to public testimony.
I was going to talk about, you know, like when you violate conservation zone permits, you know, your rules, Okay, you get fined, you get daily fines. So, you know, there's ways to circumvent these guys from doing stuff, you know, because of the fines. Even though you get money, you don't want to be fined $2,000 a day for years. You just, say you cut the trees down. Now you gotta plant the trees. I would still find them until the trees come up to the same height.
What kind of trees are they?
Oh, yeah. You know, go and get the holly koala, plum trees. Most of them is plum trees.
Yeah, java plum.
Yeah.
So they're fast growing.
Can't be.
Oh, if you want to replant, John.
If you want to plant, exactly.
Okay. Okay. I do want to go to public testimony, starting with the applicant. So, is there something you anxious to say now, or do you want to say before? Go ahead.
Just a couple of questions. There's a letter from Minor Marita that basically says that this was intended to be like an open space in the Princeville master plan. Are you aware of any documentation that that is true? Like in anything that was presented to the LUC or to the county for the Princeville development?
I'm not aware of anything. I can't answer
that question. You know, under the former owners, when I was the land agent, they came to my office and offered it to the state. The state didn't want it. So, you know, there wasn't anything. He said the owner just wanted to give it up. His attorney came to my office and asked me if he wanted to take that land. I don't know if Russell was the head yet, but then you know, it was somebody before that. We did ask him this.
I just wanted to comment with respect to Stan's question about basically about the legally binding nature of this, that we do have a condition in here that if the permit is granted, it would be recorded. And so it's on title. And notice any subsequent, the primary purpose of that is so that any subsequent purchaser is aware of the restrictions and can't really say, I didn't know anything about it.
Condition 5.
Yeah.
Is that it? Chris, do you have more?
Yeah, that's it. That's the thing.
Okay,
you.
Why don't we go hear from the applicant and then we'll go to public testimony. I'd like to limit the public testimony to 3 minutes. As much as possible, but you can. You're the applicant, so you can take the time you need.
Yeah. Aloha, Chair Case and board members. I'm Jean Campbell from the Baselung Rosenholm Law Firm, representing the applicant. Thank you for your consideration. I don't have a big long presentation. I think Sam did a good job of that, and I think you guys, with the materials you have, understand the project pretty well. So I only want to address a few things. In our application, we did offer to work with Sam to come up with whatever deed restrictions, whether it's in the form of a declaration of covenants that we record against the property. We're happy to do that, and you know we actually expect that that's going to be part of the condition to approve the permit should we get an approval. So we're working with Sam on that. We obviously looked over the conditions and we don't have a problem with what's in Sam's recommendations. So we would be happy to record that against title to the property. The applicant has said, you know, repeatedly that their intention is only ever to use this as a single family home. He and his family have been visiting the islands, especially Kauai, for a very long time. And what they're looking for is basically a second family home. They aren't intending to move from the mainland. They live in Georgia currently, and he has no intention to move here, but he would like to have a permanent family home that he can leave to his children and come out and enjoy with his family. His father is elderly, and he'd hopefully like to get this done before his father passes away. That's sort of neither here nor there to the legal part of it. We have been working, as Sam mentioned, we've also been in contact with Larry Dill of the DOT on Kauai. I'm afraid I have a very small map for you that you probably can't see very well, and I apologize for not bringing more copies of this. I can leave it with you if you want. As you can, you may be familiar from the maps you've looked at. This is the property is this long, skinny shape. The proposed site for the house is over here on the end. And as you come in from Princeville, you come this way, you come down around the corner,
and down, and as all of you are familiar with Kauai, you're going to come across the bridge right down here off the end of the property. If the house is out here, this area back here, about halfway back on this 14-acre property, is where the landslide issues that they've been having recently are. This did not happen during the April floods. There were no issues with the property during the historic floods that Kauai had a little while ago. It was a couple of months afterwards. It was in the early summer. I can't tell you the date right off. They did have a small tree fall with some rocks and mud that came down here, which has been happening. It's, you know, it is this property boundary for most of this. The lower side of it is very steep. It's a little deceptive when you drive it. It seems like the whole property is going to be a cliff, but as Tommy has explained to you, and I believe Sam's been on the property, the owner invited a number of community members up onto the property in between our two public hearings, and we walked it, they walked it, so that everybody could get a little more familiar with it. The top of the property, especially out here, is actually quite flat, and so it's, I know there's been a lot of concern in the public testimony that the house has been built right on the edge of the cliff, and that's not the case. The top of the property is quite flat. There's several acres out here that are essentially flat to very gently sloping, and the house sits up in that, and so it's not on the edge of the cliff. But as Sam mentioned, our soils report, you know, indicates that the hydrology won't change. Locating the house here won't cause the cliff to collapse any more than this bottom edge already does, and we're working with DOT to allow DOT and, you know, and whatever they need to do so that we can work together to make sure that the highway stays safe. Regarding the trees, the property owner has also made it clear that the view that they get from here is a distant ocean view and a very, very spectacular mountain view. You would have to cut a lot of trees and get closer to the edge of the property if you wanted to see down into Hanalei Valley itself, and that's really not the view that he's interested in. We also made it clear in our, I hoped it was clear, maybe it wasn't as clear as I wanted it to be, in our application that he's not interested in cutting those trees. They are, as Sam Gon mentioned, it's invasive guava, java plum, that kind of stuff, some mangoes, you know, some kind of trashy stuff really, but he is interested in his privacy, and he's interested in the mountain view and the distant ocean view. He doesn't really want to look down on Hanalei Town. And so we're very happy to keep a condition in there that, you know, that none of that stuff is going to be touched, subject to, you know, the penalties that Sam's laid out. And I would agree with the Attorney General's evaluation that, you know, if the permit is voided, which I think is a reasonable condition to put in there, that the house can go. I mean, and he has no intention of using it for any kind of commercial uses. It would be a spectacular place for a wedding, but, you know, that's short of his own, perhaps his own son getting married there. He has no intention of using it for any kind of commercial use, whether it's a vacation rental, a wedding chapel. That's so far from anything that he has in mind for what he wants this property to be. He wants this to be a legacy for his family and for the next generation to be able to use. And, you know, well, it's hard to pin that down legally. You know, I think the conditions that Sam's offered up prohibiting, you know, those are prohibited uses in the conservation district anyway. And so, you know, I think the condition that Sam's offered up is a reasonable way to do that. I wanted to address too Sam's frustration that we didn't modify the house plans. We considered the owner hired a local architect who lives in Hanalei, as a matter of fact, actually he lives out past Hanalei a little bit, to design this house for him. And he's also the same architect. He's a young guy. He's designed several homes in the area. He's well respected in the community. His wife, in fact, is, you know, in the sort of community that opposes the house, but the architect actually really believes in this house. And from the start, you know, he and the owner and the architect considered a lot of different ways to build this house. And there were a lot of ways that they could have done it that would have been much more spectacular. They would have been much more economically valuable, you know, ways to enhance the dollar value of the property. But in between both the community concern that was communicated to the owner through the architect and his wife, and, you know, just the owner's general feeling for wanting to be a part of this community. And, you know, he wants to be here. He wants to be part of the community. He wants to be a contributing member of the community. He wants to fit in as best he can. He's an outsider. He's a mainland Howley, you know, who can afford something like this. So at some point, you know, obviously he doesn't fit in. But to the extent that he can, he wants to be part of this community. And so they considered much bigger, much fancier, all kinds of crazy plans. We suggested to him, and perhaps it was our fault for going with this route, we suggested to him that rather than starting with big crazy plans that we knew wouldn't fly, to just go with what he actually really wanted, which are the plans that you have. You know, as Sam mentioned, they're almost 7 feet under the limit. We're not asking for any kind of variances. Everything that we're asking for is within the guidelines. And, you know, by perhaps my personal standards, a 4,500 square foot house is exceedingly large. But that's kind of what they're used to on the mainland. And he has a large family, and he'd like to be able to, you know, have their whole family there at the same time. And so rather than, you know, kind of do the negotiating tactic where we started with really big, crazy plans and back down in order to look like we're compromising, we just went with, you know, the straight up, this is what we're actually asking for. It's well within the guidelines. We're not asking for any variances. And perhaps that was a bad negotiating tactic on our part to just go with, you know, what we thought was a reasonable plan from the start.
Okay, questions? Board members? Anybody have questions? We'll go ahead and hear the rest of the testimony.
Thank
then.
You.
So, okay, so the next on my list is Michael Guerin. Are you speaking separately, or you were?
His sister is here.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael was unable to make it today.
Okay.
I don't really know what I'm supposed to say. Did you want to ask me?
You don't have to say anything. Why don't you can be available for questions if you prefer. Okay.
The one thing I would just say is that
you need to say your name then.
Okay, my name is Tierney Guerin. I'm the older sister of my brother Michael. I just want to say in regards to trees is that my father was, who was a property developer, and we grew up, you know, loving trees. So we're not somebody that is coming in to remove everything. That was not ever part of our plan. We like, you know, the privacy, and we were going to move here a long time ago when I was about 10 years old, and my dad, we decided to stay in Georgia. But this has been like a long-time family kind of dream, and my brother is kind of, we're a very kind of slow, kind of turtle-moving family, and it's just something, I guess my dad's getting older, my brother's trying to kind of make that dream come true for him. But anyway, if you do have any questions later, I'm here to answer
them. Thank you. Carl Imparato.
Hello, Chair Case and Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. You already have my written testimony expressing my concerns, which echo those of many of us in the Hanalei community, regarding the safety and the visual impacts associated with the proposed location of the project. I'm here to basically request that we have a contested case hearing, so I don't want to go into the details unless you'd like me to. So I'll just summarize that, first of all...
If you're going to make a contested case hearing, I think what we need to ask you for is... statement of on what basis you're making a contested case.
Okay, that would be it. First, regarding the safety and the related to the location of the project,
sorry,
I believe.
Can you help me with this? What do we need to?
Would you state your nature of your interest that's affected by this development that is your basis for your contested case?
Sure. I live in Hanalei. I've lived there for 17 years. I'm concerned, first of all, about the safety impacts because the highway is the lifeline into the community there. I think a year ago, if you had asked DOT or anyone about slope stability, you wouldn't have heard anything about the problems we've faced there.
I think what we're trying to establish is your qualification for a contested case hearing. So he's asking about...
Do you have a property interest, for example?
Well, as a person that lives in the valley that's concerned about access into the valley, I'm very concerned that we have inadequately looked at the slope stability issues. So there's potential harm to me and my family if this property is located in the structure is located in the wrong place on the property, and then results ultimately in more slope destabilization. So that's my primary interest there. As to if you were asking my qualifications.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm really asking, is there any other interest that you're indicating is affected, that you is your basis for the contested case, other than your living nearby?
No, I don't have a financial interest, if that's the question. I don't have a property interest there. I have an interest, again, in safety of access and being able to live comfortably in my home.
Okay, I think I want to ask if anybody else is requesting a contested case hearing on this that's here today. No other request. Okay,
I thought you said that there were two written submissions.
It's a conditional one, so it's not a... So with that, I think I'd like to ask to go into executive session.
I'll move that the board go into executive session to consult with our attorneys about the legal issues raised by this request.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. I know, I was wrong. I know, sorry you guys, I mixed up the order. Because we had two DOT.
10:10, going into executive session.